are Kentucky Living Health Club members, and welcome to our final interview of the Kentucky Living Online Health Club. This week's interview is all about geriatrics, and our guest today is Dr. Laura Morton, and she's an assistant professor in the Department of Family and Geriatric Medicine and the director of the Geriatric Medicine Fellowship Program at the University of Louisville School of Medicine. Dr. Morton is a board certified in internal medicine and geriatric medicine, and she maintains an active practice delivering care to patients as the medical director of Trayton Oak Towers and Episcopal Church Home and doing home calls. And also her research interests include geriatric sexuality, which we're actually going to touch on during this interview. Thank you, Laura, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, great. Well, tell us all about, you know, what is geriatric medicine and how is it different? And maybe also, who needs a geriatrician?
Okay, geriatric medicine is a subspecialty of either family medicine or internal medicine. And doctors who are geriatricians do additional training to take care of the elderly. The technical definition of elderly are patients over the age of 65 or those who are probably usually in their late 50s to 65 that have geriatric problems like dementia, urinary incontinence, frequent falls. Those are the kind of things that would qualify a person to go see a geriatrician. Mm-hmm. The thing that is different about geriatric medicine is that when we treat a patient, we try to look at our patients holistically. We really focus on functional status, quality of life, and also the social systems that the patients live in. Because that all becomes very important in providing quality medical care and treating the whole person and not just the medical issues.
Right, right. That'd be great if all, if everybody practiced that type of holistic medicine. I mean, not just for older people.
It is true. It's a really good way of looking at things, and it's very thorough. However, it takes a lot more time than a lot of your usual office visits to your doctor.
Oh, okay, interesting. Well, tell me a little bit about that. So you are able to spend more time, so people have more time to ask questions or to get all, to, I guess, to gather all that information that you're talking about.
Correct, because when you come see a geriatrician, we want to know about your medical problems, of course, as well as all the medications, both prescription and over-the-counter medications that you take, but we also want to know about your support systems, transportation, financial issues, psychological health, those things, and that does take longer. So a usual visit to a geriatrician is about a half an hour, which gives us more time to follow up on those things, do a thorough exam, and help educate the patient and their families about our treatment plan going forward.
Wow. So, okay, cool. So it sounds to me like, I mean, I'm 52, so I'm listening to this for later on, you know, later on in my life, but it sounds like just about everybody would like to have that type of a relationship with their doctor as they get older. Do you suggest that everyone over a specific age use this type of doctor, or does not everybody need one?
Not everybody needs one. The geriatricians, we really specialize in the frail, complicated elderly. If you're in your, say you're in your 80s and you're very healthy and only on a couple of medications, you probably don't need to go to a geriatrician. However, if you're in your 70s or even in your late 60s and you have multiple medications and you have multiple health problems and are really having trouble with your functional status and your ability to live by yourself, then I think it's a good time to go see a geriatrician.
Okay, cool. Thank you for you know, helping us to understand the differences there. Now, one of the things that our Kentucky Living Online Health Club members have been talking about a little bit on our club and wanted to know something about was how to stay mentally sharp as we age. I think it's everybody's fear that about getting dementia or Alzheimer's or that type of thing. So can you give us some tips about how we can stay mentally sharp as we age?
Yes, the best thing that you can do is lead a healthy lifestyle, which means the things that we all should be doing anyway, but we may not do as much as we should.
Right.
For example, we should be physically active. So even as you get older, you need to stay physically active, doing aerobic exercise as well as doing balance training, yoga, those kinds of things. We also want to stay engaged with other people in a social setting, because being socially active helps maintain your your mind, and continue learning. Never stop learning and being involved in activities that interest you, because those are ways to keep your mind healthy and sharp.
What I had posted on the Health Club, the and I'm sure you've heard of it, the website called Lumosity.com, that where you play the brain training games. Are you familiar with that?
I am, yes. Anything like that. Some people prefer crossword puzzles. Some people play bridge. It's whatever that interests you, because I think that's important, too, that you enjoy what you're doing, because otherwise it just seems like a chore, and it's harder for people to follow through.
Yeah. And is there, I had read somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but it talked about that you need a variety of mental activities. If you do play do crossword puzzles, that's awesome. But if you only do crossword puzzles, that can become a problem. Is that true, or do you know anything about that?
Right. That's why I said you want to keep trying to learn new things. So if you have one hobby, you want to try to do another one. And then, again, things that allow you to be socially interactive while doing things to stimulate your brain are great. That's why cards is a really good way, or picking up a ballroom dancing. That would be something that would be active both physically and mentally to learn how to do that.
Cool. And I guess, you know, more and more people in their, like our parents' age are, you know, very active online, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and that kind of thing. So I'm assuming that those types of activities are also really good to maintain both the social aspect and learning new things with the technology and everything.
They are very good for that purpose, and I think we'll see more and more ways that we incorporate technology into our seniors' lives as they move across the life spectrum. I have patients that are in their 90s that have computer and Facebook pages, and it's really amazing and a good experience for them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so now, like I said, I saw in your bio about your research interest being geriatric sexuality, and I think, you know, we all kind of wonder about, you know, will we have a sex life as we age? You know, there are lots of jokes and things about, you know, not having sex as you get older and that type of thing, but I'm really curious, what have you learned in your research about sex and the older adult?
Probably the biggest thing is that people continue to have sex. It continues. It doesn't stop at any certain age. People usually continue to be as sexually active as they were in their earlier years. So if they've been very active throughout their life, they will probably continue to be very sexually active. A really important thing is that while being sexually active, that we remain as healthy and safe as we can. The older days, people didn't need to worry about sexually transmitted diseases as much, but that has become an issue because as people get older, they don't have to worry about pregnancy anymore. And so the big thing is that I would encourage anyone who wants to be or remain sexually active that they need to use protection, including condoms and barrier methods, to try to protect themselves.
Wow, that's interesting. And also, what helps? Well, I'm sure you're going to say, you know, eating right and staying active and all that will lead to being able to remain sexually active as we get older. But are there any other specific tips? I mean, we know, you know, we hear about, you know, women, for instance, postmenopausal having vaginal dryness and that type of thing. So what about tips of making sex feel enjoyable and comfortable in your later years?
Well, one of the big things is being comfortable. A lot of times when people have discomfort with sexual relations, whether it's intercourse or other forms of sexual expression, it's because they may be in a situation where they're not emotionally or psychologically comfortable. So that's the first place to start. Mm-hmm. After that, there are the physical ailments that go along with getting older. And really, I would encourage people to talk with their physicians about sexuality. If they're having discomfort, then they need to go get checked out. If people have vaginal dryness, there are lubrication and there are estrogen suppositories that can be used for that. But again, it's always better to be evaluated by a physician. There are modifications for people who have arthritis or heart disease that we can recommend for physicians to try to allow people to be sexually active as long as possible, but being as safe as possible.
Right. Well, it sounds like that is a relief for a lot of people, I'm sure, because what do you hear in your practice? Are people sad or depressed that they think they can't have sex anymore as they age, or what have you heard from people about this topic?
A lot of people who have become, who've lost their spouses or significant others really are sad because they've lost that physical expression. And then if they do find a new partner, they experience some guilt about being with a new partner. Other patients really would like to be sexually active, but they're scared because they think that they have medical problems and it's going to prohibit them from being sexually active. So again, it's great to talk to have an open dialogue with your physician so that you can work through those things and those concerns to find the safest way that you can maintain your sexual life, because that is a part of living.
Right, right. Wow, that is fascinating. I'm so glad that you are doing research in this area, because it definitely affects all of us, and I think all of us want to be able to continue all the activities of daily life, and you know, that is, sexuality is definitely one of those things that we all want to continue, I'm sure. So, Laura, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure, and lots of good, great information.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And Kentucky Living Health Club members, thank you. And that, like I said, that concludes our interviews for this year's Health Club, and I hope that we'll be able to do this again next year.